And I guess I'm gonna preach to the church this morning, but if I could get the dad's attention today, and maybe the granddad's attention, I would appreciate that as we go through this message. Joshua chapter 24. I'll read our text verse, and then we'll pray and we'll come back and get the context. Joshua 24, verse 15, very familiar verse. The Bible says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me," that phrase just jumped out at me this week reading my Bible, "but as for me." It says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We'll preach this morning on that, those four simple words, "but as for me." Let's ask God to help us and we'll dive right in. Father, we love you. Thank you for the morning you've given us. Lord, thank you for this wonderful church you've given us to be a part of. And Father, I pray that your word would go forth this morning. It would not be hindered in any way. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost would have his way in each heart of the believers this morning. But Lord, we want to say if there is someone here today, it's our heart's desire, if they're not saved, that today would be their glad hour of salvation. And Lord, that they wouldn't care what anybody else thinks about them. Father, they wouldn't care about what the popular opinion of society is. But Lord, that they would chuck all that off. And Lord, that they would do everything they can to come to you today and to be born again. And then Lord, those of us that are saved, Lord, the church this morning, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to get our eyes fixed on you, that Lord, you would have our attention. And I pray that you'd help me this morning as I preach, Lord, in an attempt to get out what you've put in my heart. I pray that my life and my words, Lord, would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, that the preaching this morning would be in demonstration of the Spirit of power. And that, Lord, it would be effectual in our lives. Help us, Lord, to mix the preaching with faith today that it might be profitable to us. We sure love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody ever had your mom or dad tell you when you were growing up? Maybe they had to sit you down and talk to you about a relationship or a friend or an association that you had. And they sat you down and said, "Listen, you don't need to be doing that." And maybe your response was, "Well, but my friend did that." And they looked at you and said, "If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off with them?" Anybody, did everybody in the world hear that before? And you know, you got some smart alecks today that say things like, "Well, yeah, I would, because if everybody jumped off a bridge, you know, it'd be a soft landing." You know, stupid stuff like that. But the principle's the same. What your parents and my parents are trying to get me to think about is, you don't have to follow the crowd. And what's going on here in Joshua is, the nation of Israel has given themselves to idolatry. And they're getting ready to, they've passed into the promised land, and Joshua's getting ready to pass off the scene. And Joshua, as far as we can tell, Joshua was a good leader. He filled Moses' shoes, he stepped right in there, led the children of Israel through the occupation, let's say it that way, of the promised land as God promised. And they get here to the end of the chapter, the end of Joshua's working, if you will, and he has to tell them this in verse 15. He said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord." You would think after all that God has brought these people through, that they would have no question serving him. And so here you have a nation that's wholly given to idolatry. Now we ask that question, if everyone jumped off a bridge, would you? I hope your answer would be no. Maybe we could frame it this way. If everyone else was going to hell today, would you? You know, I witness to people from time to time that tell me this. I'll say, "Listen, you know, if you died today, you know where you'd spend eternity?" They said, "No." I said, "Well, Jesus died and made a way that you could go to heaven." And they'll say something crazy like, "Well, why would I want to go to heaven? All my friends aren't going there." Well, if everybody else went to hell, would you? Maybe we could say it this way. If every other professing Christian lives like the devil, will you? And I think that may be more where we're at today at this church As we look around, and as far as I know, most people in here have a testimony of being saved. But you know what the danger is in a church like ours? Is someone begins to fall off. Someone begins to not toe the line like they've done in the past. Someone begins to move in a direction that's further away from God instead of closer to God. And all of a sudden, those that are weaker in their spiritual walks, those that have difficulties going on in their life, if they're not careful, they begin looking at those that are not doing everything they ought to do for God. And they say, well, if they're not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. And the question comes full circle, if they jumped off a bridge, would you? Because there's a lot of Christians today that are jumping off a bridge spiritually, and there's a whole bunch of people following them. And I don't want that to happen in this church. So what we've got to do is we've got to adopt the attitude of Joshua. But as for me, let's look here at Joshua 24, look at verse 11, let's get some of this context. And you'll understand more importantly how Joshua is responding here. Verse 11, let's begin reading there. Joshua 24, verse 11. The Bible says, and you went over Jordan and came into Jericho. This is the recounting of how God's worked in the children of Israel's life. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And God said, I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. God's reminding them, I did all these things for you. You did not, Israel, do this in your strength. I did it for you, God said. Just like you and I, the best thing we can ever do is come to the realization, I cannot live this Christian life in the strength of my flesh. I have to have God's help. And you should come back tonight, you'll get the whole explanation on that. Verse 13, he says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards which you planted not, do you eat. Verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord. That's not unreasonable, is it? Not unreasonable for God to ask that. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. What's the next two words? In sincerity. That, you know, the Bible warns against serving God with eye service as men pleasers. What that is that that's showing up to church on Sunday morning and have a smile on your face. And as soon as you get out of here, you just flip the switch and you go back to doing whatever it is you want to do in life. The Christian walk ought to be an all-encompassing lifestyle. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Turn the switch on and turn it back off when I leave. But he says to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. Amen, preacher. Don't be a liar with your life. Amen. If you say you're a Christian, act like one. If you say you're saved, prove it. Amen. The Bible says, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. That's an amazing statement to me, that God would continue to work among this nation as he did in settling them and fulfilling his promise as he did. And it's obvious, according to that verse, that those people had idols in their homes, in their tents, in their lives. Because God had to tell them, put that junk away. But you understand, it's a majority of the nation that has this going on. And it says this, the end of the verse 14, and serve ye the Lord. Now the verse that we read this morning, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he goes back and he mentions these gods, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And here's the phrase, but as for me. In other words, Joshua looks around and he sees the whole nation, if you will, given to idolatry, and it's stirring him in his spirit because he wants them to serve God. He wants them to continue in the things God's given him to do. This man's led this whole nation through the occupation of the promised land, and he gets over there and he's getting ready to pass off the scene. He knows his time is limited, and he looks at him and he says, you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. And of course, they're going to say, well, yeah, we're going to serve God. And a few verses down there, he tells them, you can't serve God with those idols in your life. Now, this is not a message on idolatry, but it's good to plow the row while we're here. I want to focus on Joshua's attitude this morning. Because as he looked around the nation that he has spent pretty much, as far as we know, all of his life with, in which he served under Moses and then took the reins when Moses died and led the nation through what God wanted to do. I appreciate Joshua's testimony. I appreciate his attitude and zeal at the end of his ministry here, because he's looking at them and he's saying, listen, you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve, but I'm here to tell you today, as for me, my house is going to serve God. Now, you all can choose what you want to, make whatever decision you want to make, but I'm just telling you, as for me, I'm going to serve God. You got that attitude this morning? You see, it's guys, we are in a dangerous day. The Bible calls it perilous times for the church in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The falling away that the Lord prophesied about that would come before His coming, or that would happen before His coming, you're seeing it today. It's called apostasy. That's the big fancy religious word for it. It simply means people are turning away from the truth that they've been taught in their life. And as they come to churches and church buildings, loosely defined, they want to hear preaching on things that comforts them and helps them. And there's a lot of comfort in the Bible. I think you understand what I'm saying this morning. There's a lot of help in that Bible. There's a lot of encouragement in that Bible. But there's also a lot of challenge in that Bible. And the Lord's looking at His church and He's saying, don't get swept away in the apostasy of the last days. Don't get swept aside as people stop coming to church and start going fishing, as people lay out and don't do what they're supposed to do, as the ministry of reconciliation, if you will, takes a lower place in people's lives. Don't get swept away with that. Have the attitude of Joshua. Well, you can do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we need some Christians today that have that kind of resolve to say, I don't care what everybody else in my church does, I'm going to serve Jesus. And if every individual in here would make that, this would be awesome. You would be blown away by what God would do in and through and with this church. If we would all just say and determine in our hearts, I don't care what everybody else in the community does, I don't care what my family thinks, I don't care what my friends think, I am going to serve Jesus Christ. But as for me, and the Bible says that you and I live in a crooked and perverse nation. And we live in a world that's growing more and more wicked every day. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't back off of the Bible. Don't back off of the standard of God's Word. Don't deviate from those old paths that have been preached in this church since 1936. Just stay on the straight and narrow. And as you see them fall off, and as you see them take a turn, just say, well, I hate to see that, but as for me. And as this person does this, and this person does that against God's Word, say, I really wish they wouldn't do that, but as for me. That's the kind of resolve we're going to have church. I've been toying with a saying, and it's gone through different iterations, but I finally landed on this. Do you know what the difference is between adversity in your life and you advancing in your life? The difference between adversity and you advancing is very simply your attitude. And if you have a defeatist attitude, you don't like the way things are going, you're going to stop right there. And if you say, you know what, I don't care what's going on around me, I'm going to go on for Jesus Christ, but as for me and my house, you will get the victory over whatever it is that pops up in your life. It's that simple. Let's keep reading here in Joshua. The Bible says this, verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, which is what they've been doing since they came out of Egypt. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. It sounds a whole lot like having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. It sounds a whole lot like being near in their mouth, but far from their hearts. And he says, verse 19, Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. That'd kind of be like somebody in the church coming to the pastor and saying, Pastor, I'd like to do this ministry, and me looking at you and saying, you can't do it. How infuriated would people become? What do you mean I can't do it? I'm volunteering. I know, but you got some problems in your life, and you just can't do that. You're not going to be able to serve in that capacity with that baggage in your life. That's what he just told them. He says, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. And after that, He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. And so they made a covenant. And you know, listen. I'm not going to make you turn over there, but it's not two pages in your Bible into the book of Judges. And Joshua's generation passes off the scene, and all the people that were around him pass off the scene. And the Bible says those people went away from God and they did what was right in their own eyes. And they didn't have the resolve that Joshua had. But as for me, the whole nation was gone after that. What a sad commentary. Turn over with you, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll get New Testament verses, that way you feel like it's applicable to you. My daughters are growing up quickly than I want them to. And Abigail just turned 7, and Clara is 3 going on 30. And Abigail she's very impressionable. I would ask that everyone in this church just watch out for her. Because she'll just latch on to anything and go. And we're trying our dead level best to get her to stop doing that. Clara, she got her own drum barking in the back, beating in the back of her head. She's marching along to it. Somebody says, come here, and she just goes right on. But now Abigail, she's real impressionable. And in our tater lessons, we teach a lesson on the different types of taters. It's the first lesson many of you will teach this coming school year. And in there, one of those taters is an imitator. Every one of us in this room are imitators. I don't mean that you're fake. What I mean is we look around at everybody else and we adopt how the majority operates. Because we don't like being singled out. And we look around and we see this person doing this and the majority moving this direction. And if we're not careful, we'll go with that because, you know, it's much easier to go with the flow than it is to stand against it. If there's anything I've learned fishing, I'd rather stand in calm water than in fast water. If you stand in fast water long enough, your legs get real tired of that. And then when you go to move, it's a weird sensation. But you can stand in calm water all day long. And that's what most folks like to do, is just go with the flow. The thing that we do as we're imitators is we look around in our church. Here's what we do in our church. We look around and we start gauging people. And we find the lowest common denominator in our church. And we try to set ourselves just a small notch above that. And then we think we're super spiritual. Well, I mean, I don't act like that, so you know, I'm good. Well, you know, I don't do that, so, you know, I'm good. Listen, you and I are not the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. And instead of having the attitude of, I'm just going to go with the flow, why don't we get a bunch of people that says, they can do what they want to do, but as for me, I'm going to stick to what God said to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Well, I love how God hammers the human tendencies. You'll need to go to 2 Corinthians, by the way. I love how the Bible is just absolutely contrary to the nature of this flesh. That's how you know it's God's Word. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 12, the Bible says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number. You see that? Paul here is writing to the Corinthian church, and he had some hard things to say to them, and they didn't really like everything that he had to say. But Paul's saying this. He said, listen, he said, I'm not going to make myself of one of the number. In other words, I'm not going to give in to the majority in that church that doesn't like me. I'm not going to give in to the majority of the church that doesn't like the preaching of God's word. I'm going to do what God told me to do. But he goes on to say, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Now, we all do this. We all compare ourselves with everybody else. That's just a human fault. But what God's trying to get us to see is, you and I are not the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. And if I make another fallen sinner my standard, I am not going to have the correct attitude that I need to have in my life to say, but as for me. And he says, we compare ourselves that commend themselves. Well, that's always dangerous. Somebody that pats himself on the back, you just need to go away from that. Just get away from that. He goes on to say, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. God said that's a foolish thing to do, to look around in your church, look around your life, and see what everybody else is doing and just go with the flow. You will get swept downstream. You will get bashed against the boulder. You will get drowned spiritually. It's not in your best interest to do that. Now look over 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians now, 11. So I'm not to compare myself among our congregation here. I'm not to compare myself among our country, our community. I am to compare myself to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul speaking, verse 1, he says, be ye followers of me. And if he stopped right there, he'd be committing a sin. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And I know we get in a big way in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, missions-minded, separated, all those adjective Baptist churches, of saying, I ain't going to follow a man. But there ought to be multitudes of people in this church that we can follow their example. Right? Those teenagers down there in that youth conference, listen, they need some 30-something and 40-something and 60-something and 80-something and 90-something saints in their home church that are saying, but as for me, so that when they look at that, they see it's real. Boy, great-grandparents, listen, we need you to toe the line that you towed with your kids, with your great-grandchildren. Amen. Grandparents, I need you to toe the line with your grandkids that you towed with your children, the same line. Yeah, right. Parents, now we need you to toe the line that your mom and dad and your grandparents towed with you. And as these youngins come along, they're going to have to toe the same line. We need a bunch of people saying, but as for me, I don't care what the world does. I don't care what the popular teaching is. I don't care the way the society goes. I don't even care how the carnal Christians in my church act. But as for me, I'm going to serve God. And if there's a bunch of us doing that together, there's hope for this church. But all it takes is one, then two, then three, and all of a sudden it starts sliding one direction it shouldn't go. And then those that stand up and say, I ain't going that direction, all of a sudden they're the enemy, aren't they? They're the stuck in the muds. I pray to God I'm stuck in the mud. But Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We've taught this here before. You've been taught this in your life. Everybody follows somebody. Those young people got exhorted strongly, and I appreciate it from Brother David Brown, but they got exhorted strongly to find examples in their church and their life of people that love God and are sold out to serving God and just get in there behind them. I sure don't want my life to be a stumbling block to anybody in this church. And that ought to be your attitude. You ought not want your life to be an excuse for somebody to slide away from serving God. Your life ought to be a provoking to somebody else for them to draw closer to God. Amen. You're familiar with this, we won't turn over there. But John 21, where Jesus Christ was exhorting Peter there at the end. And he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And then he gave him a command, didn't he? Remember what Jesus' command to Peter was? Feed my sheep. And the last two words he said to him when they got up from the campfire were, follow me, Jesus said. And the next verse, Peter's walking along and he looks and he sees John. And he turns to Jesus and he said, what's he going to do? And Jesus said, probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, he said, what is that to thee? Would you follow me? Follow thou me? There's so much that we could talk about right here. In a church like this, there's a lot of people serving. I appreciate every person that puts their hand to the plow in this church. It's a blessing to serve right alongside with you. But if we start looking at each other and envying what that brother's doing or envying what that sister's doing and wishing that that was me, you just got to understand God's going to put you where he can use you today. You may not be ready for those other situations. We're sitting at home on Thursday, and Valerie asked Abigail to go do a chore, just a real simple task. And Claire just bolted up and took off running after her. I said, Claire, where are you going? She said, I'm going to go do it. I said, come here a second. And she come over to me, you know, what? You know, because she can't go do what she wants to go do, right? And I said, are you tall enough to reach what Mommy asked Sissy to get? Uh-huh. And I said, no, sweetie, you're not. I said, are you strong enough to carry what Mommy asked Sissy to bring? Uh-huh. I said, no, sweetie, you're not. And I said, Mommy asked Sissy to go do that because Sissy is able to do it. And I said, you're not quite able to do it, but one day you will be. And you know, that illustration happens in churches all the time. Amen. Well, I want to go do what so-and-so's doing. You're probably not ready to do it. So just do what God asked you to do. That's what Peter had a problem with. Amen. Well, Lord, what's John going to do? Doesn't matter, Peter. You do what I told you to do. Amen. And of course, we're all Peter, aren't we? All right. I'll say this. It doesn't take much to get a snowball rolling downhill, does it? One or two or three people. You know, I was thinking over in Exodus 32 over there that when Moses delayed to come down off the mountain, And those folks sitting around, they said, they said to Aaron, "Up and make us gods, for as for this Moses, we know not what happened to him." I don't think it was the entire nation of Israel that started that. I think it was a group, maybe even a small group, that came to Aaron and said, "Aaron, we're not going to wait on Moses anymore." And all of a sudden, everybody just started filtering in behind that. You know what you've got in your country today? You've got a few loud, ignorant voices, and the whole country is just falling in right behind them. And God needs some people that are born again to say, "Y'all do what you want to do, but as for me, I'm going to serve God." The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Would to God we'd be backbone Christians that'll take the attitude of Joshua in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in the midst of people going more evil and more evil every single day. Would to God we'd have the backbone of Joshua and say, "But as for me, but as for me." Well, that was the introduction. We're not going to go on. I believe that's a good place to stop. I will give you this, though, with David. If you look up that phrase in your Bible, "But as for me," those four words, in that order, there's seven instances, including the one in Joshua. Five of them are in David's life. I think David was a man that looked around his circumstances and he said, "I don't care what happens to me." And he said it five times, "But as for me, I'm going to serve God." Daniel. God said he had an excellent spirit. That means he had a good attitude. You know what happened to Daniel? He got put in captivity, taken over to the Babylonian kingdom, and there he stands, and they ask him to take the king's meat, and he said, "I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat." He had a "but as for me" attitude. Then they passed a law and said, "You can't pray to anybody but the king." Daniel said, "Well, but as for me, y'all do what you want to do, but as for me." How'd that turn out for him? You know, Daniel, I heard somebody say this the other day. This is not original movie. Somebody said this the other day. They said they didn't like Daniel. And I thought, why in the world would you not like Daniel? And they said, Daniel, outside of Jesus Christ, is the only person you can't find anything negative about him in the Bible. I believe Daniel overcame the adversity and advanced because of his attitude. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning.